of understanding the greatness of someone is what they have left behind, or what they have done. So, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, in this Adi Lila, chapter 1, is giving us an understanding of the greatness of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And before describing the wonderful pastimes of Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Sundar, he wants to give us some glimpse of who they are and what they have done, so that we can have some appreciation of their transcendental qualities. And we find that Lord Nityananda is very elaborately discussed in these first few chapters of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj goes into great length to describe the glories of Lord Nityananda as the original Purusha, and explaining his various incarnations and manifestations within this world. Then, when we read of the personal pastimes of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, we will hear with a heart full of great reverence and love. This is very important. You see, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are so beautifully described. Lord Nityananda's pastimes are very, very inconceivable, because he is, although the most merciful of all aspects of Godhead, he is the Guru principle, the Guru Tattva. He is also manifesting the ultimate degree of that intense intoxication of love of God. And therefore, sometimes he is explained as behaving in such a way that is not at all socially acceptable. Sometimes it appears fallen to people who do not understand. Sometimes it appears insane or crazy or disrespectful. And of course, to commit offense against Lord Nityananda is to commit offense against the principle of Guru. And it is described in that of all offenses, Vaishnava Aparad is the most severe. And of all forms of Vaishnava Aparad, Guru Aparad is the most deadly. So, therefore, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, whose spiritual master is directly Lord Nityananda Prabhu, is trying to explain just who is Lord Nityananda. And we're about to embark on a very wonderful section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and our discussions, which is a description of how the Lord expands and incarnates in various phases of the spiritual and material worlds. It is described that in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the topmost planet of all Vaikunthas, there are three divisions. There is Gokula, there is Mathura and there is Dwarka. It is explained that the original Adi Purusha, the supreme enjoyer full of all opulences, is Krishna or Govinda. As Lord Brahma explains, Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajam. He is the original Purusha. And that Krishna expands himself as Balaram, the original expansion. And Balaram is known in this planet of Krishna Loka as Mula Shankarshan, or the original Shankarshan. And it is explained that from him, he is protecting, preserving, he is expanding himself into the entirety of Goloka Vrindavan. Actually, Vrindavan itself is an expansion of Lord Shankarshan or Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram, through Balaram, he expands himself as the original Chaturvyuha. This takes place in the division of Dwarka, in the planet of Krishna Loka, where Krishna expands himself as Vasudev, Balaram as Shankarshan, and then also as Prajumana and Aniruddha. From these four original quadruple expansions of the Lord residing within Goloka Vrindavan, or Krishna Loka, the Mula or original Shankarshan, he expands himself as Lord Narayan to reside within each of the innumerable Vaikuntha planets. There he has four arms carrying the conch shell, the lotus, the Sudarshan disc, and the club. And in the various Vaikuntha planets, as it is described in the Bhagavatam, these various manifestations of Narayan are carrying these sacred symbols in different order. And it is described that within the Vaikuntha planets, there is a secondary Chaturvyuha, or quadruple expansion. And they are residing in particular of the four directions of the Vaikuntha planets. That is Vasudev, Shankarshan, Aniruddha, Prajumana. Vasudev in this is the cause of all causes. Shankarshan is this predominating deity of all living entities. All jivas are emanating, and all jivas are ultimately under this Mahashankarshan. And it is explained that Prajumana is the predominating deity of the total mind. And Aniruddha is the predominating deity of the total ego. Now all of these Vaikuntha planets, as well as the highest of the Vaikuntha planets, Krishna Loka, are within the spiritual sky, which is called the Paravyoma, The Paravyoma is the spiritual light, the effulgence that is emanating from Krishna in his Krishna Loka. It is emanating from that abode and reaching in all directions. It is described by Kaviraj Goswami that at one corner of this great spiritual sky, the Mahashankarshan of that second quadruple expansion creates what is called a causal ocean. And he lies within that causal ocean in the form of Karanodakshayi Vishnu, or Mahavishnu. And then, from that Mahavishnu, it is described on the other side of the causal ocean is the Pradhana. Pradhana means the material energy. Pradhana is eternal. It is the eternal aspect of the material energy. And the Pradhana is in and of itself inert. It is a byproduct of the causal ocean. Then this great Karanodakshayi Vishnu, he casts his glance, and through his glance he impregnates the material energy with life. With the power of mobility, and also with all the jivatmas that are meant to dwell within that material existence. He also, by his glance, he activates the three modes of material nature, which without this glance of Mahavishnu, the three modes of material nature would also remain inert. Through the process of creation, through the mode of passion, creation takes place. Through the mode of goodness, preservation takes place. And through the mode of ignorance, destruction takes place. And then it is described how, from this Karanodakshayi Vishnu, upon his exhalation, innumerable universes come from his body. And it is described that these universes, it is like a cluster of foaming bubbles, which means not all of them are directly on that border of the causal ocean. Only some of them are. Others are simply against each other. We read in the Srimad Bhagavatam about the various layers of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego that compose each universe. Within each universe, Karanodakshayi Vishnu expands himself as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. And from the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, a lotus flower springs. And upon that lotus flower, the original living being within each universe, Lord Brahma, is born. Upon the performance of tapasya, this Garbhodakshayi Vishnu empowers Brahma with the knowledge and the ability to work as his agent in the creation of the various manifestations within each universe. And it is described that there are many, many planets within each universe. There is the higher planets. The highest planet in each universe is Brahmaloka. That is the residence of Lord Brahma. Those residents remain for the entire Lord Brahma, and many of those residents remain living a peaceful life throughout the entire cosmic manifestation, or one day of Brahma. Then there are the middle planets and the lower planets. It is described that above Brahmaloka, there is a section which is considered to be in the area of the pole star. And it is also that area is called the Aditya Lokas. And within that realm of the universe is a Vaikuntha planet. There is a spiritual Vaikuntha planet within each universe. And on that Vaikuntha planet, there is an ocean of milk. And within that ocean of milk, there is an island. That island is called Svetadweep. And upon that transcendental island of Svetadweep resides the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. Now that Vishnu expands himself as Kshirodakshayi Vishnu in order to reside within the heart of every living being within the universe. And he is the Paramatma, the Super Soul, who is guiding all living creatures. So this is a brief summary of how the spiritual and material worlds are manifested, and what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is very much stressing, that we understand that all of this phenomena that we are speaking of, all the living entities, all these great powerful expansions and incarnations, they are all planary portions or expansions of Shankar, Mula Shankarshan and Maha Shankarshan. And that original Shankarshan fully manifests his ultimate potencies as Lord Nityananda. You see, the Maha Shankarshan, which is the secondary Shankarshan, he is in control of all of the creation, maintenance, destruction, everything, directly or indirectly, of all the spiritual material worlds. But the Mula Shankarshan, the original Shankarshan, who is Balaram, or Lord Nityananda, he is in charge of only one thing: assisting the divine Leela of Lord Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna Loka. I forgot to say one thing, that In this Svetadvipa planet that is within the material world, that Vaikuntha planet, Lord Shankarshan expands himself as Shesha. And there he is assisting Lord Narayan in every possible way. He becomes his slippers. He becomes his umbrella. He becomes his couch. He becomes his garments. He becomes his jewelry. He becomes his sacred thread. He becomes all the paraphernalia of the Lord for his enjoyment. And that Shankar, that Shesha, expands himself as Ananta, who is a supporter. He supports the entire cosmic manifestation. In future classes, we will describe this in much greater detail, and we will also draw out special charts or illustrations to give a much easier grasp of understanding this very divine subject matter. Now, here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining the various varieties or categories of incarnations, avatars, that come into this world for the purpose, the Purusha avatars, for the purpose of creation of the world, for the purpose of managing the affairs within each universe, the Vilas avatars, the Prakash avatars, the Leela avatars. These things we will discuss in another class. And we want to discuss in such a way that we have a very, very good understanding and grasp of how all of these different ideas are united in the principle of transcendental knowledge, of Krishna's divine pastimes. And, of course, in understanding all these things, although it may appear sometimes very complex, and it also may appear like very, very detailed knowledge that very few people that we are preaching to will be able to grasp, but it is very, very important. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much anxious that devotees learn this particular subject matter. And Srila Prabhupada explains, if one understands this subject matter, he's liberated from the bondage of material existence. Why is that? Because by understanding these subject matters, then we could really understand what is the mercy of Lord Nityananda and what is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we read Chaitanya Charitamrita and we see, or when we hear the stories from Chaitanya Bhagavat, we will not take these stories or these personalities in any way, shape, or form to be ordinary. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu are sitting under a tree joking together, it will give ultimate ecstasy in our hearts to think that the source of all of these great Vishnu avatars is sitting and joking. What to speak of when he goes to the house of the fallen conditioned soul who's sinful and begs them to take to the process of chanting the holy name of Lord Gauranga. So therefore, this appreciation alone will purify our hearts completely. If we can simply truly appreciate the exalted position of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in how they humble themselves to come to this world like ordinary beings just to beg us to chant the holy names, through the process of what we are about to learn, if we hear with an open heart and open ears, we will understand what it means to take shelter of the Holy Name, which is to take shelter of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has appeared, Patita Pavanavatar, in this most munificent and merciful manner, just to deliver the most fallen. Is there any questions? That's according to here. I have to do more research. The Vishnu in the Trinity is Chirodakshai Vishnu, yes. But according to what is explained here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Vishnu living in Svetadvip is Garbhodakshai Vishnu. Although, yes, the Gunavatar is Chirodakshai Vishnu. When we make the chart, we'll be more specific in all these. I believe it's Chirodakshai Vishnu. No, various, because Krishna facilitates an opportunity for everyone according to their karma. So if you are meant to be born in a Satya Yuga, there is a universe that is in Satya Yuga. In fact, it is described by Kaviraj Goswami. Chaitanya Charitamrita is so much an ocean of information on the basis of the most authoritative knowledge of the Shastra. It describes that the various incarnations of Godhead appear in various yugas, and there is always, in some universe in the cosmic manifestation, each avatar performing his lila. In fact, it is explained that not only his lila, but each and every one of his lilas is always going on. There are so many universes, although Krishna only appears once in every day of Brahma, which is many billions of years in each universe. Somewhere he's killing Putana. Somewhere he's stealing the gopis' clothes. As soon as he finishes one pastime in one universe, there's somewhere else in the cosmic manifestation where he performs that same pastime. Krishnadas Kaviraj explains, this is what is meant by Nitya Lila. Nitya Lila means in the spiritual world it is always going on. But also each Lila is going on somewhere in the material manifestation. So therefore all the yugas are simultaneously existing in various universes. All the universes are manifested during one exhalation, correct? Huh? Hmm? And everything is consumed within Mahavishnu upon the inhalation. There are several explanations. One is that it is not necessarily that in each universe at the exact same time Garbhodakshai Vishnu is manifesting Brahma. Even if it's a matter of seconds between for him, that's yugas for us. Right? And similarly, when he inhales, according to where each universe is, it might take a fraction of a second longer if it's a little farther away to come into you. But that fraction of a second may be many yugas for us.
It is really very precise.
Oh, you see, first there's a devastation in each universe. It's not that everybody all of a sudden feels a suction. First there's a total annihilation. Then he inhales. So you see, you're trying to calculate Mahavishnu's breathing sequence in terms of our relative conception of time. For him, if it's just a second lapse between one universe and another, for us it's trillions of years. Huh? So in this way, it's all working by his divine potency, so that it is all happening in proper order. That means after the Kali Yuga, when there is that annihilation, he's an expert manager.
Also, the concept of time in each universe according to its size is different, isn't it?
But that's all relative. Whether you're living the life of Lord Brahma or whether you're living the life of an ant, from the point of view of the time calculations of Mahavishnu, there's really no difference. Huh?
Annihilations are also proved as partial and total.
Yes.
Once in every day of Manu, once in every day of Brahma, and then...
Well, these things we'll discuss. And whoever helps you puff up your false ego, he becomes your friend. Whoever tries to deflate it becomes your enemy. So in this way, material existence means trying to increase our false ego and protect whatever ego we have developed. And when you take to Krishna consciousness, you are asked to give up your false ego, to relinquish it. Everyone in this material world is simply after enjoyment. Sense enjoyment. A neophyte devotee, he may not get any sense enjoyment in devotional service. It might be a great austerity for him. He's longing for the pleasures of the senses, but he's giving them up. And he's engaging in activities which sometimes do not give him such pleasure. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. That is sudden vaidhi bhakti. So it's such a high price. We have to give up everything for Krishna. So in order to convince us that it's worth it, Rupa Goswami is explaining what the symptoms of consciousness are, what the types of ecstasy are when you come to that platform. Huh? Not theoretically, but also in the lives of so many great devotees and in the writings. So therefore, it is very important not to try to imitate these symptoms like the sahajas, prakrita sahajas, but to try to emulate within our minds the exalted position of love of God that our spiritual master is begging us to accept from his divine grace, and to be willing to do anything or give up anything that is required for that. So, in fact, if we very seriously study what Prabhupada is giving us in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, it is very, very essential After all, this teachings of Lord Chaitanya was written during the first few years of Srila Prabhupada's preaching in the West. And he extracted what he considered the most important parts of Chaitanya Charitamrita for the devotees to understand. And because this is there, it has a great importance. Srila Prabhupada wanted to give people an understanding. And when we're speaking of love of God, we're not just talking about some little sentimental feeling. We're talking about a whole realm of consciousness. And this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to give into the world. The more we understand, even if we don't have it, if we understand and know what he's trying to give us, then we can really appreciate the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And we'll never give up his lotus feet. When you're going to the travel agent, whatever they tell you that's good about that place is all theoretical till you go. Correct? But unless you're really, really convinced and attracted by the theory of what's there, you won't pay the price. So Rupa Goswami is giving us the theoretical information of what is on the other side of this Vaitarani River, or the separation between the material and spiritual worlds. And what is to be found within our own hearts when we pass through these stages. It's a long process to come to the level of prema. But this is what prema means. And Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatana Goswami in this particular chapter just what is that great treasure of prema bhakti. What are its symptoms? What are its characteristics? Now you know, is there anything greater in this world to attain? Would you not be willing to give up everything for that and to share this with others? Huh? So therefore, this is very important to understand. It's essential for us to understand this if we really want to have a very firm foundation of faith and direction in the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
The two aspects. One is, like, we have been discussing how material world is miserable, the place of mind. This is the other aspect, the positive aspect. Where we get Vairagya as well as...
We have direct experience of the miseries of material world. But you see, you must also understand that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to Sanatana Goswami, in the name of religion, Mayavad was practically the all-in-all in India. Because people had direct experience of this material world. And the intelligent people were frustrated with it, and they wanted mukti, they wanted out. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to very succinctly describe to Sanatana Goswami, to reveal to the people of this world, how far superior prema bhakti is than mukti, so that people become devotees of the Lord. Huh? When you hear the Brahmavad or Mayavad philosophers giving lectures, and they're telling so many wonderful stories, but the conclusion is emancipation from all material suffering, or liberation, or mukti. It's very attractive to most people to merge into the existence of God. But when we hear the messengers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining what is beyond that paravyoma, that spiritual sky, what takes place in the planets within that paravyoma? Rupa Goswami explains, compared to the sweetness of the ecstasy of devotional service, pure devotional service, which is like a vast, unlimited ocean. The pleasure contained within mukti is like one drop. Rupa Goswami explains that. But what does that mean? We can get an understanding of what it means by this description to Sanatana Goswami. And therefore we will not take seriously those people who are teaching the path of jnana. We will not take seriously the teachings of those who are preaching the path of karmakanda. Our mind will be fixed with resolute determination only on bhakti, upasana kanda. People are attracted by mystic powers. People are attracted by elevation to higher realms of enjoyment. People are attracted by a liberated state, by becoming God, in, so to speak. But the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who understand these teachings to Sanatana Goswami, they will never find even a pinch of attraction to any of these things. So therefore, first we must have the theoretical conviction of the greatness of what the six Goswamis on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have given us. Otherwise, our minds will be diverted, because in the name of material life and spiritual life, there are so many things being offered at every moment to charm our mind and senses.
Krishna should always be in your mind. Conviction should be in your intelligence. The conviction of what we are reading, what we are discussing. And that conviction should motivate you to become the humble servant of the servants, and in that spirit to always chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Because Maya, through her gross and subtle energies, Pradhana and there is Prakriti. Pradhana is the potential spiritual energy, and Prakriti is the temporary manifestations within it. Together, the two equals Maya. And Maya is constantly going to try to divert your attention away from the path of bhakti, or compromise your principles. Therefore, Krishna says we must conquer the lower self with the higher self. We have to be fixed in our intelligence. The intelligence cannot bring us to Krishna, but the intelligence can keep our sadhana strong. And that sadhana of chanting the holy name will bring us to Krishna.